Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Future of Funeral Service. I'm your host, Robin Heppel, from FuneralFuturist.com. We're continuing our series of pre-convention interviews for the National Funeral Directors Association Convention and Expo that is going to be held in Las Vegas, Nevada from October 6th to the 10th. Today's guest is Kimberly Gaylert from the Academy of Professional Funeral Service Practice located in Westerville, Ohio. Kimberly, are you there?
I am, Robin. Thank you for having us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, Kimberly, could you please give me a little bit of background about yourself and the Academy?
Yes. The Academy has been in operation since 1976. It was originally the brainchild of the Board of Governors of the National Funeral Directors Association, wherein they engaged the help of the University of Minnesota to assist them in putting together a program that would recognize funeral directors for their contributions not only to their community, but to funeral service through professional organizations and also through academic learning.
Okay. Now, and that's, you know, because with all the various states and provinces, we, you know, there's not consistency there or not at that time. And especially from an ongoing basis after that.
Mm-hmm. That's so, very true.
Yeah,
we have members, by the way, Robin, all over the world. We have a member in Australia, a couple of in England. We have many in Canada, and predominantly our membership is based here in the United States. When we originally started our membership, our governance structure, I should say, was made up of individual representatives from each of the major funeral service organizations, including the National Funeral Directors Association, who takes obviously a great deal of interest in promoting our program and helping us along, but also from the National Funeral Directors and Morticians Association, from the Jewish Funeral Directors, from NSM, the National Selected Morticians, which is now the Selected Independent Funeral Homes, and also OGR, the Order of Golden Rule. So over our history, we've had some very good leaders in our organization. In 1995, though, we finally were an organization strong enough to stand on our own two feet, and we began to elect our Board of Trustees from within our own membership. So our Board of Trustees is now and has been since 1995 elected by our members themselves.
Okay.
So, over the last 10 to 15 years, we've had some very exciting growth and some movement towards, bringing our organization certainly to the forefront. And one thing I wanted to share about our program, too, is that, because it was started in 1976, we were an organization that was offering a designation, the Certified Funeral Service Practitioners designation, long before it really became trendy in the 1980s. So our program is well-rounded in that we ask our members to earn continuing education credits in academic areas. We also ask them to earn credits on their transcript, on their academy transcript, with professional organizations that they belong to and any leadership roles that they have or service that they have on committees. But we also recognize any work that they do in their communities with hospice and with high school career days and just general tours of the funeral home. So what we find is many funeral directors are already doing what is necessary to earn the CFSP designation, but not many go the next step and put their hat in the ring and make a commitment to lifelong learning. And we're looking for those folks that want to do that so that we can continue to recognize the professionals in funeral service for what they're contributing to the profession.
And it's very hard for us as funeral directors to, you don't want to kind of brag about, I do all these things, but, what I found is that people will see the designation and they'll say, well, what does that stand for? What does CFSP stand for? And then that gives us an opportunity to say, well, it is we've made a commitment to this, continual learning, and much more. Like it's not just maintaining our license in our region. It is that, as you said, to the academia, but also to the support in our community, and so it's a great way just to kind of open that dialogue up for the people who notice the designation.
Well, and I think people, the funeral directors who go to conventions or in, settings where there are other CFSPs, notice frequently the purple ribbon that the CFSPs wear, or they'll even notice the gold jewelry that many CFSPs wear. Now, from a family standpoint and in your community, lots of our members promote the CFSP designation with the community as well, not only through those tours of the funeral home or encouraging young people to consider funeral service as a profession or a career that they could consider for themselves, but many of our members purchase plaques, and then we also give them certificates with a gold seal that are suitable for framing, and we find that families are interested. They want to know, what does that mean, certified funeral service practitioner? How did you get that? And really, although it's great to have the awareness among the profession, it's when we're reaching in and able to let families know the value as well. That's when we start to really create some interest in the profession and in the designation, and draw families into that.
Well, and it's because they only see us in a professional capacity once every 7 or 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and so they're not really aware. We're aware of what we do all the time because we live it every day. But on those times when they have to come to the facility and they're looking around and. Just like when you have to purchase something else that you don't do all the time, you automatically become aware of all the things that you're not you're not really kept up to date with, and again, it's just a great way of letting them know that you're continually improving yourself and staying current with the trends, and also with the great thing about the designation through the academy is that there's that other emphasis on supporting your community and working within your community as well. It's just not doing some studying on at home. It's getting out there and being a part of the community.
Well, I think when we originally started in 1976, it was okay just to say, well, I'm a funeral director and I'm here. But, I think that as the public changes and families begin to demand more and more, they're going to be scrutinizing whether somebody has gone a little bit further than what's required as far as continuing education is concerned. They're also going to notice very quickly whether somebody is, really comfortable in the customer service techniques and skills that they practice, or whether the person is a little bit awkward. So it's interesting because I think our families not only are recognizing more and more in our profession the qualifications that come with really good funeral directors, but they're also beginning to demand it. And they're, I think we'll see times in the future where families could be more difficult to serve because of their diversity and because of how distant they can be as family members from one point of the country to another, or one country to another country.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be looking for, they're going to go out and they're going to do searches on the internet, and they're going to find somebody that has credentials, and then they will use that. We believe that may be a deciding factor to contacting one funeral director in a community over another.
Mm-hmm.
And our designation, the CFSP designation, and the statement that makes to the public will be the standout for them in the future as people begin to use the internet more and more instead of just, the Yellow Pages or something like that, which, honestly, they're good resources as well, but unless you can get your hands on the local Yellow Pages, you're going to be doing an internet search.
That's right. That's right. And it's not like, you know, it's a course that you take one time and you're done. You every year you have to get back and make sure that you qualify for the designation. So, you know, that in itself will let those people know that, you know what, this means that we're committed to the community, committed to higher learning on a continual basis.
Yeah, it's true, because, Robin, in states, they're required, funeral directors are required in many states, as you know, or in other countries, to earn a certain number of continuing education credits in order to qualify for relicensure. Well, our program really gives them credit for doing a variety of activities, not just learning or education, but also those things that they do in their community, also those things that they've done in the past before they joined the academy, and as well those things that they do in leadership roles that make them more well-rounded. I think when I think of a CFSP, I think the adjoining words that I think of are well-rounded professional, because it's you can't become a CFSP with only one piece or part. It's every piece that we're looking for, and there are maximums in each of the categories. And as we approach the presentation that we're doing at the NFDA convention, those are some of the things that we'll talk about. We'll really get into the nuts and bolts of what does it take to become a CFSP, and, you know, what are the different categories of activities that our members need to accumulate credits in, and how do they do that, and what are the tools that we offer as an organization to facilitate them in reporting those activities to us on an ongoing basis, because obviously if we're going to do it for a long time, it needs to be streamlined with respect to how you do it. And we also have tools for every segment of our membership. We have a wide age range, from very young, newly licensed, and or even students. Students from mortuary schools are invited and allowed to join the academy while they are still in school, and they can work towards the designation. Obviously, they can't do a career review because they have no career to review. And obviously, we don't award the CFSP designation until such time that they show us proof that they've become licensed in their particular state or are recognized as a funeral professional in their state, not just an apprentice. But we also have the funeral directors who have been with us since the inception of our program. So as you can well imagine, over the span of almost 30 years, we're going to have members who want to do things differently. Some want to write it down for us. Some are willing to email it to us. Some want to fax it to us. And some want to go to our website and put it in online and see some real-time interactive activity going on. So we try to appeal to all of the different segments of our membership and provide them with tools to help them in letting us know what it is that they're doing, so that in turn we can go ahead and certify them as they began, but also recertify them each and every year that they continue to be a CFSP with us.
You know, it's funny. I've been at trade shows before or conventions, and I'll see someone and say, oh, you know, and they'll be on a computer, and I say, oh, are you just logging in and checking your email? And they, oh, no, I'm just updating my activities for the CFSP. And I say, oh, I better do the same. So, it's pretty funny. But it's you're right. We can, you know, there's lots of ways that we can communicate with you. And you know, the Academy is just becoming the place of accreditation and the standard throughout the funeral profession for continuing education. When I'm needing to get courses approved for continuing education, you know, we first submit it to you, because then once we get approval from the Academy, because your standards are so high, it's almost default that covers, you know, so many of the states and some of the provinces here as well.
Yeah, I think one of the major obstacles that we have struggled to overcome, and one that I continuously talk with not only our members about, but also the continuing education providers that come to us asking for approval for their programs, and that is because our program was created by academia, they typically will grant college-level courses. So a college-level course typically is 4.5 CEUs for a 45-hour course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, along came most of the state boards in the 80s, and they did a one-for-one exchange. So if it was one CEU, it meant that it was 1 hour. And as you know, with the academy, we always move the decimal point one place. So to become certified, you need 18 CEUs. And we have to be very cautious in making sure that we clearly communicate to somebody just looking at our program that that doesn't mean 18 hours of credit. Otherwise, who wouldn't have a CFSP designation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little more difficult than that. It's the equivalent to 180 hours worth of activity across those four categories. And, you know, although that seems like a daunting task as you start to undertake earning the credits for the CFSP designation, one of the major sections is that career review, where somebody can do a look back on what they've done in their career and go through the process of documenting it. And honestly, Robin, one of the things as I'm talking with funeral directors and saying, okay, what is it that you got out of our program in gathering information to share with other people that are either considering our program or already in it to encourage them to continue to earn credits and send them into us? And I think the number one answer I hear to that question that I pose to a funeral director who's already earned their CFSP is, I had no idea I was doing all of the things that I do. And as I sat down and began to document it, I realized how much I am already doing to promote my business, promote my profession, and also, you know, to be a good steward in our profession as well. And I think even though having a CFSP in some firms really doesn't bring you any extra dollars, it does bring you a lot of pride isn't really it. That's not the right word, but it brings you a lot of satisfaction, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word I'm looking for, satisfaction. Yep. About your contribution to our profession. And, you know, there are firms, that being said, there are certainly firms across the country that not only hire based on whether somebody has the designation or is already enrolled in our program, but also incent their current staff to complete the requirements and to recertify each year. We have many firms that will give bonuses based on earning a CFSP designation. They certainly pay for the dues for many of, mm-hmm. of their employees. So there's, even though we say, you know, you might not get any extra money,
mm-hmm.
I think in some cases there is a predominance of some higher pay as a result of earning the CFSP designation.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just that one, you know, that back to the pride and satisfaction that, you know what, I am doing everything that I can to,
mm-hmm.
You know, because we are trying to, we're serving our communities. And then we know that, you know, we're not being slack about it. We're actually doing all these different things. And the one thing that I like about it is that it's not, you know, it's not just that taking a course. It's you know, if someone wants to do some self study and write a write an article, that they get credit for that. And, you know, things like that maybe within their own state they may not receive credit, but they're probably learning, you know, probably more doing the research and putting it together than they may just sitting through a presentation.
Well, you're so very correct. And one of the things too that because of the wide breadth of activities that somebody can do in order to complete the designation, you know, we have to realize that some of our members are owners and they have the luxury of going to a convention. Some of our members are students or, you know, professionals working and going to get a degree in business, for example, or something related to running businesses. Many go for degrees in counseling. All of those activities are contributors to earning the CFSP designation, but many of our members also are employees. And those employees often don't have the opportunity to serve in a leadership role with a state or local association. They might not even have the opportunity to go out to a convention, but they do have available to them a wide range of home study programs that they can bring in and do at their leisure, complete a post-test so we're ensured that they have gained the knowledge that they needed to from the coursework, and then they can submit that for completion as well and for eventually for their transcript once we've had the provider get back to us to let us know that they've successfully completed the program. And, you know, some people do that in insurance. Some people do it in how do we talk to seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it in OSHA studies, and some do it in just general management skills, or some will focus completely on embalming skills and cosmetology and whatever their role is within their work and their career. They can find continuing education opportunities available to them that will address what it is that they want to learn or where they want to round out their experience a little bit more.
Absolutely. Now, one thing, just kind of before we wrap up, the interesting thing when we're going to be at NFDA, and you know, part of that is their election process of their executive, and every person that you see on the executive has a designation, and it's and it really looks like that's just becoming the standard, especially at the NFDA.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but when they introduce the past presidents.
Pardon me?
And when they introduce the past presidents in one of the general sessions, many will notice that all of those past presidents also have the CFSP designation. Many of those men who have served on FDA in leadership roles many, many years ago were part of our program when we first started. They were the founding fathers, if you please, of what it is we do. And then, you know, we're also, and I don't want to give the impression that only men do our program when I say the Founding Fathers,
mm-hmm.
because we have so many women that get involved in our program as well, and who are pursuing the funeral service career. And we certainly have members from all different walks of life and all different backgrounds that come to the academy because they don't have to belong to a specific organization that just is geared towards their organization. They can belong to a group of professionals that has a wider range of expectations, but also a wider range of focus into the different elements of funeral service.
And you know, one of the neat things being, you know, having the designation, and when you see someone else with it,
mm-hmm.
there's this kind of unspoken bond. That,
there's a commonality.
Yeah, there. Exactly. And it's like, hey, you know, you're doing, that's great. You know, I'm glad to see you're doing it. I really enjoy it. I'm proud to have mine, and you know, try to spread the word as much as I can, and obviously that's what you and Daniel Hutchison are going to be doing. Mm-hmm. Daniel is the current president of the academy.
He is.
And I guess before I let you go, though, Kimberly, is there any last comments that you'd like to say?
Well, I think that, you know, we're looking forward to having the opportunity to share our program with attendees at the National Funeral Directors Convention. We know that the attendance at the convention will be very high because of the venue this year, and we're excited about that. We're also excited about the opportunity to speak with professionals from other countries, because I know that each year we see increasingly that higher and higher numbers of people coming from South America, from Mexico, from Canada, and from abroad as well. And we love to have the forum and the opportunity to be able to shake the hands of not only the folks that are members of our organization and meet them face to face and have the opportunity to talk with them, but also to begin to build those bonds with the funeral directors that we don't yet know. And so that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to sharing what an awesome program we have and having some of our ambassadors. We have 125 ambassadors who are CFSPs that serve a role for us that will help people who are just joining fill out the paperwork or use the online posting system or, you know, whatever it is that they can do to encourage them to complete the requirements as quickly as they can without, you know, lingering or, you know, letting something go home and sit on their desk. We want to be able to equip everybody that becomes a member of the Academy with the tools they need to do it now, to get it done and finish up and then be a CFSP and recertify each year, because certainly once they've met the requirements of the designation, they're going to find that the road to keeping it is much easier than the initial earning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to give them all the tools. We want to give them all the information to satisfy the questions that they may have. We want to give them and share with them what it is that other people that belong to the Academy and have the CFSP designation, what it is that they find the value. Because it doesn't matter who you talk to. Most everybody will tell you a different story about what their designation means to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you are so right. When you come up to somebody that's wearing one of those purple ribbons or you know is a CFSP at our luncheon that we'll have and recognize new CFSPs, it's always a very unique experience for me as executive director to stand by and watch people that come from all different parts of the country shake hands and share in their accomplishment. So as we do our presentation at the NFDA convention and work in the exhibit, because we will have an exhibit there too to answer questions, my goal would be to make sure that we answer all questions and equip our members and prospective members with everything they need to get started and or finish or continue on their path to being a CFSP.
Well, that's great, and you know, I'll be down there, and I'll try to do my part. I'm looking forward to the luncheon and also to the presentation that the two of you are going to be putting on. So, looking forward to seeing you in Las Vegas.
All right, Robin, I'm looking forward to seeing you too.
Okay. Well, thank you to Kimberly Gaylert from the Academy of Professional Funeral Service Practice, who will be presenting CFSP, a must-have for your professional career, at the NFDA Convention and Expo in Las Vegas, Nevada, October 6th through the 10th. For more information and registration details, visit www.nfda.org. Check back soon for another NFDA pre-convention interview. On behalf of thefuneralgurus.com, this is Robin Heppel. And remember, embrace the future.